Welcome to the April edition of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont. Today our guest is Mr. Don Supas, Commissioner for the 2nd District. Don, I believe this is your first appearance on the program since your election as a county commissioner, and we welcome you.
It is my first appearance, and I thank you very much for having me.
Fine. The county recently raised the tipping fees at Adobe Butte Landfill. They raised them from $28 to $41 per ton, a $13 per ton increase. Commercial trash haulers are protesting, and they claim they're losing customers because of this. Last year, the increase was only, I believe, $3 per ton. Why did you all deem such a large increase necessary, and are you willing to reconsider this action?
You know, the biggest problem we have right now with the landfill is we're getting ready to fill up the current cell we're in. When we do this landfill, we do it in phases called cells. This current cell is about full. So we have got to prep work the next cell, which is going to take a lot of construction.
So you have to really start all over, so to speak.
Right, yes, sir. We've got to go in. We've got to haul in a bunch of clay. We've got to pack that clay to a certain level that's going to meet the CDPHE requirements and Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment,
right.
Yes. And so, you know, we have seen a lot of cost increase because of the CDPHE requirements that have come down in the last few years. They've really come down on some of the landfills. State regulations that we're forced to comply with. And, you know, the landfill doesn't operate at a profit. It's actually taxpayer subsidized, and what we're trying to do with this is get it a little closer to paying for itself. It is an enterprise fund, and you know it's not easy to make these kind of adjustments. And I know raising the rates is hard, but right now, just because of what's required of us, it's going to be necessary. Otherwise, we're going to have to subsidize this with taxpayer funds, and we are not in any shape to be taking tax money and subsidizing the landfill, because we're going to be just as far off on tax funding in the next year as we are this year, if not worse. So,
actually, if you read the news and so on, trash is a problem worldwide.
Oh, absolutely!
It's amazing. It's amazing and not just on land. I mean, you read about all the stuff that's being dumped in the sea in various places.
Oh, yes.
It's just, and you just sort of wonder, with increasing population, how long can this planet absorb the stuff that's being generated? The thing is, there's so much of it that's not biodegradable too. I mean, plastics and stuff like that.
Correct. You know, we're dumping more and more stuff into our landfill that is not biodegradable. But in the inverse to that, I guess we are seeing more recycling. You know, there is more recycling going on. There's a lot more. You're seeing a lot more of the biodegradable, you know, the shrubbery, the tree limbs, the stuff like that, that people are actually trying to mulch with now versus filling up the landfill with. So we're seeing a shift in the way people do business at the landfill.
Yeah. So what you're really saying is this increase you've put in is probably going to hold, going to have to hold.
You know, the discussions aren't done, but I'm afraid so at this point in time. Unless our numbers come in a lot lower on this next sell, that's probably what we're looking at. I mean, we can sure hope that our bid prices come back a lot more reasonable. But you know, we've got to cover our bases and make sure that we maintain this landfill for the future. You know, we got to think about this thing 30 years from now, not just next year.
Just as a point of interest, do we have plenty of areas for new landfill or increased landfill?
We've got quite a bit of space out there. We've got a lot of time left at that landfill. Yeah. In the next 20 years, naturally you have to start looking for something. But in the near future, we don't have anything to worry about at this point in time. But it's always something you – chance favors the prepared mind is what I like to say. So if we can make sure that we're taking care of this landfill and prepping for the next one, we're going to be a lot better off.
If you just joined us, this is the April Delta County Commissioner's Report, and we're happy to have Second District Commissioner Don Supas as our guest today. We understand that just recently, Montrose County eliminated their, I believe it's called a construction development impact fee. This charge added approximately $2,700 to the cost of a new single-family house. The levy was said to generate something over $600,000 a year for Montrose County. Does Delta County have a similar fee or a similar system? And if so, explain how it works.
You know, the impact fee is something that is brought about at times of growth to try to offset the cost of growth. You know, there's a lot of infrastructure costs. Anytime you have a subdivision get developed, you've got more and more people coming. They're traveling the roads. So these impact fees are developed as a way to try to offset those costs. They go into a fund. You know, we currently have an open space fund with every subdivision that when they subdivide and develop lands.
When you say we, does that mean Delta
County? The
county,
yes, the Delta County.
Right.
And so, you know, it's designed to go into a fund to help propagate, you know, open space in the county and try to help offset some of those costs. So, you know, the impact fee is always one of those things that you try to plan out for the best, but most of the communities around when they planned the impact fee, it didn't really help because about that time growth stopped happening and then we didn't have the development that was taking place. So as far as an impact fee with the county, I got to be honest with you, I don't know what or if there is one, and that would be a question I'd have to get back to you on that.
Why do you suppose Montrose County gave this up at this time?
Montrose County's in a lot better spot financially. They've got a little better income revenue coming into the government than a lot of counties do. So they're probably just looking at it as more of a growth development, try to get a few more homes built by reducing the cost.
This is a bit of a stimulus to single-family building, I would think.
You know, anytime you can make it cheaper, you're going to be more competitive.
Yeah. I mean, if this figure that was cited in this press of $2,700 on a single-family house, that's significant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you're, you know, basically when you think about Montrose County is competing for the building that could be done in Delta County, and if they can reduce their prices by that much and encourage people that might move to Delta County or some other county, and Delta County does the same thing. We look at things that we can do to bring businesses and people here you know, make it more profitable, more affordable to come
to Delta County.
They probably
make it up to some extent on property taxes and sales taxes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, and just get that revenue moving within your county.
You've been named as the county commissioner's representative to the Delta Urban Renewal Authority Board. What is this, and what does it involve for you?
Because of the change in state statutes in the last few years, urban renewal authorities now have to have a member from appointed by the county commissioners to represent the county. They have to have a member from the school board, one of the school board members, and they also have to have somebody to represent the special districts. What this intention was with the statute was to make sure that these entities had representation because this authority is using that increased tax revenue to, you know, do infrastructure improvements, make things more feasible for growth in blighted areas. And that's basically what this is about, is to try to inspire some growth and inspire some growth within the blighted areas of the city of Delta. So we take a base tax amount that's currently being paid, and then any not sales tax for the city, but property tax that increases over the base rate due to improvements, that increase, or TIF, goes into the Urban Renewal Authority, and then they get to use those funds to pay off the debts that they incur to make the improvements or to make future improvements. So as far as my part on the authority, it's mainly just to be a voice for the county.
The Great Outdoors Colorado Board, known as GOCO, recently awarded $75,000, a $75,000 planning grant to the city of Delta to develop a master plan for parks, recreation, open space, and trails. And it awarded a second grant in Delta County for $28,000 to Cedar Edge for improvement and extension of the Service Creek Trail. Does the county apply to GOCO for funds? Does our county, Delta, apply to GOCO for funds to finance projects in the unincorporated areas of the county? If so, are there any applications pending at the present time that you know of, and what are they for?
Actually, Delta County did receive two GOCO grants. We received a grant for approximately $50,000 for master plan update, and we also received a grant for our own county trails master plan, recreational trails master plan. So GOCO funded those through the county also. So not just the city of Delta and the town of Cedar Ridge, but Delta County got a substantial amount of money for our master plan and trails master plan also. Yes. Yes, just in the last 6 months that money's been awarded. So, and we are currently, as you probably know, we are currently undergoing an update of our master plan, and we are taking in RFPs for consultants to take on the trails master plan.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question to ask you. Where does this? There was an article in the paper today or something about this company that's handling your master plan or whatever. I forget the name of it.
RPI out of Durango.
RPI was supposed to be behind or something. I was going to ask you just talk about where the master plan stands and how does it look? How are things going?
You know, actually, I'm pretty excited with RPI. The reason they're delayed right now is because we've given them so much information. It's taken them that much longer just to compile all the data that we've given them and make sure that they can put it into a concise format to use for this master plan.
Well, I would
think
more is better than less in this case.
That's right. So, you know, it's the more data they have, the better product they're going to be able to give us. We're probably looking in May to start the public meetings, and at that point in time, they'll start taking public input. They'll be visiting specific entities, and we will be able to start the public process of this master plan. And then we will hopefully have the public part wrapped up by the end of summer, and then this fall and winter go into the final stages of the master plan.
Now, when it's completed, is this going to in some way change things in Delta County? Is it going to be a different life, or,
no,
or what's going to come out of it?
The master plan is a vision document. It's not meant to be a statute. It's not meant to be written law. It's meant to be a vision document. And what we want to do with this master plan, and naturally the county commissioners, we don't get a say in this. This is done by the planning commission. The Planning Commission and RPRA are the ones that undertake the master plan. The county commissioners do not. So, but with the county commissioners hiring of RPI, the ultimate goal is that we get something that truly represents Delta County. So, you know, we've got a very diverse county here. We've got a lot of interests, a lot of differing interests. So we want this master plan. We want to make sure this master plan represents all interests and that nobody gets left out because they weren't the loudest person at the table.
Now, the master plan, what's the origin of this thing? Is this dictated by the state or how? I'm asking this because I don't know, and I suspect that maybe there are many people out there that don't know, or maybe newcomers to the county are not familiar with. I never remember hearing about a master plan until I came to Delta County, which just reflects my own ignorance, obviously. But talk a little more about in general what this master plan is?
You know, the master plan, it's basically, it's required by the state. The state wants everybody to have a master plan.
Right.
And, you know, once again, it's a vision document. It's just meant to be, this is where we're at now. This is where we would like to see ourselves in the future.
But it's not law. It's not statute.
It is not law. It is not statute. Correct.
Okay.
You know, you would have no standing to come to the county commissioners and say, I want you to enforce this because the master plan says it. You know, it's still something that you can look to as guidance when you have a development, when you make ordinances, when you make decisions. You can use it as a guiding tool, but it is not actually a legal document, shall we say.
Has anybody ever tried to use it as a legal document?
It happens regularly. It happens all the time. Yes. Yes. In fact, there were some lawsuits just recently the county went through where that was the one of the uses of it was they tried to use the master plan as a legal document.
But the court can't cite it as a sort of as a law in enforcing.
I'm going to refuse to give legal advice on that because I'll never try to say what a judge will or will not do. So,
yeah. Okay. I withdraw the question. I'm sorry. I withdraw the question. But we are guided quite a bit by it, obviously.
Well, yeah, it's a tool. It's a tool for elected officials and appointed officials to use. When they're making decisions, and that's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be a tool.
Now, we're only 3 months into the year. The county runs on a calendar year, I believe.
Yes, sir. Yes,
we're
sir.
Only 3 years into 3 months into the calendar year, but there's been so much made of the this whole downturn in the coal situation and so on, and of course we all know that unfortunately. Significant number of miners were laid off and so on. How is the county doing budget-wise with respect to sales taxes and I suppose collection of property taxes and so on versus the budget? The budget having been presumably made before this downturn occurred, or at least the effects of it went into effect. How are we doing?
Last fall in the budgeting process, the commissioners and staff, they were very conservative in their revenue projections, and they were very lean in the expenditure. So it's a very lean budget. The county tightened up its belt quite a bit to make sure that we would be okay through this fiscal year. And currently we're doing okay. Our sales tax are hanging in there where they need to be. Our foreclosures are actually down in the county compared to what they have been in the past. So, you know, we're not growing by leaps and bounds. We're not going gangbusters here, but we're holding our own. And so that's the biggest factor here to take away is that, you know, we've seen a lot better times, but it could be a heck of a lot worse too. You know, and right now the board's probably more concerned about 2018 at this point. Just because of some of the residential assessment rate numbers we're looking at and the revenue declines we're going to be looking at in 2018. So 2018 could be even tougher budget year for the county.
Right. Do you think property taxes are going to have to go up to?
Well, the due to the way the Gallagher Amendment's set up and the way the residential assessment rate is set by the state – Delta County is kind of going to be behind the eight ball a little bit because we're going to rely a lot on our residential ratepayers to make up the revenue that the county receives. And currently that residential assessment rate is at about I can't remember the exact number right now, but it's going to drop considerably. In fact, the county could look at losing about $500,000 in tax revenue, just on property tax revenue in 2018 if the projections move forward. So it's gonna be another tough budget year for the county. But, you know, the commissioners are prepared to tighten our belts and make the tough decisions and make sure that we keep this county solvent and in good financial status. So,
the amazing thing to me about Delta County, however, is how you have how you have kept out of debt compared to some other entities. There doesn't seem to be much debt in public debt in. I mean, I think you bought, there was one piece of earth moving equipment or something you bought on time, but I mean, any really substantial debt.
Correct. Yeah, we've got the only debt is the piece of equipment that you talk about that's actually run out at the landfill. And that should, I think, get paid off this year, if I'm not mistaken. The county commissioners for a long time have been very fiscally responsible. They've made sure not to
overspend. But there's no long-term debt or anything.
No long-term debt. No.
I mean, we all owe something on a piece of a car or something.
Right.
But I mean, no, I don't mean to make a joke out of this at all, but there's been no long-term debt compared to some other political entities,
in years like next year in 2018, that's going to prove to be very beneficial for this county, because if we had a large debt service to pay on some project someplace, and we were going to be shy of, a $500,000 to $1 million because of a lost revenue, you don't make up that kind of funds and pay off a debt service if you're in debt that far. So it's a lot easier to maintain in the lean times when you don't have that debt.
You were elected last fall, and this is your first time as a county commissioner.
Yes, sir.
And obviously you ran for the office for some reason, and you presumably had some things in mind that you would like to accomplish or like to see done and so on. What are a couple of things you'd like to accomplish help accomplish as a county commissioner to move the county forward? What is the county, and I'm speaking sort of long term now, but what is it that, and it's a great county, this is not a negative question in any way, but what would you like to be able to do or have the Board of County Commissioners do something new, bigger, better, or something for the county?
Honestly, the biggest thing I'd like to see is I'd like to see Delta County become more business friendly. And that's something that I've talked about for a long time. I've talked about that. And, there's a lot of problems with the way we currently run our regulatory processes in this county, and it was something that's been set up a long time ago, and we're just trying to get those things fixed now. But, if you're a business looking to move into a community and you've got to go through a 6-month approval process to set up a rather simple business, you're going to go move that business someplace else. And Delta County has suffered on that end several times. We've had a lot of businesses move to other counties when they wanted to move here because of what we had to offer. We've got great climate here. We've got great people. We've got so many amenities here. And, the businesses just couldn't do it because the regulatory process would take too long for them to get set up. So the biggest factor in my mind is we've got to ease that burden. We've got to make it easier. If you want to set up a business in Delta County, we've got to make that time frame shorter. We've got to make that process easier.
Do you think things are improving in that respect?
I think so. In fact, we made a few changes just last month regarding hearings in front of the Planning Commission and the APC. We've combined those to reduce the time frames it takes for a business coming in on a specific development application. They can come in and it takes some of the timing out of the process, because we've joined the APC and the PC meetings to try to help that process. And as we move forward with land use and master plan this year, hopefully we can make some more changes that'll make that easier.
Right. Well, Don, that's just about our time for today. It was great. And I again, welcome you. Your first time on KVNF, and I congratulate you. I think we had a really substantive and good talk. And I thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again in, I guess, it's 3 months.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. And actually, we discussed earlier that maybe we might have our emergency management coordinator come in next
right.
month for you.
That is something I mentioned. We talked about a little when we were down at your office the other day, and something we used to do, and I want to get back to more, try to having more of the county people, not just the county commissioners, bring the commissioners, bring them along as a guest, or we schedule them separately or whatever. But we'd like to get more of the county administrative people on this program as time goes by.
Well, next month with flood and fire season, our emergency management coordinator, that ought to be pretty good timing. So,
Okay, that's the subject for next month. You just gave me the subject.
We'll see
what we can do.
Very good.
So thank you very much. We've been speaking here today with Mr. Don Supas, District 2 Commissioner on the Delta County Commissioner's Report. And for KVNF, I'm Felix Belmont.